The screw training program is not as boring as you thought it would be, Alice. Mm. The first week has been spent mostly in theory, but the second, physical exercises start making a much larger appearance. And today it's physical restraint 101. Your mind is a bit all over the place. During these weeks, what have you been trying to do?
I'm trying to not excel, but not being bad either, just being like in the middle of the bunch, keeping my head down. But I'm also trying to kind of get Sarah back in some kind of physical and mental state, so I've been actually spending a lot of time trying to kind of cook for her, which is a bit hard when you don't eat yourself, but, you know, get her to move. So my focus has also been on her a bit, but when it comes to the restraining and the physical stuff, that's nothing new for me. That's something that I've done my whole work life, so it's not hard. It's just nice, actually.
Yeah, in the weeks since you last tried crawling into the prison, it's your life has turned more normal, more regular than it has in a long, long time. It's of course hard not to think about the guys and how they must be doing in there. But the news of the total lockdown and the extremely limited times that any doors would be open there makes any idea of going in there extremely difficult. You get information about the lockdown state of Armley through your budding friendship with the guards that have contacts there, with Hannah and with Mera. Mera is really struggling with the physical exercises. I mean, that is why she's here. She just can't apply enough viciousness. She can talk vicious enough and she can project power. When it comes to the physicality, there is just something that is lacking. Mm. But still, she's almost perfect in all other regards. I almost feel a bit sorry for her.
Yeah, I tried to help out since this is not hard at all for me. It doesn't cost me anything to be nice and help, so I try to help Hannah and Mira if she wants to. Because also being a woman in this kind of profession is really hard. So if I can, I just put in some extra help for them.
The exercise is somewhere in the middle. When Liam... He turns out to be a guy with a interesting background. The way he phrased it is that, I guess most of my mates are surprised that I'm on this side of the bars. He's a Royal Navy submariner, and he's not really well adjusted to civilian life. And now it's him against you. He's about, almost 1.5 feet taller than you. Bit broader, and he comes in like a freight train. You're on the middle of the floor. He's coming at you, and you're supposed to defend yourself and get him in an arm lock. He is role-playing as a rioting prisoner. He's unarmed, but he is supposed to get you out of balance before you can radio for help.
Yeah, I think I want to step away and block him in a way and get behind him. So I think I'm gonna roll maybe dexterity plus brawl, because I'm trying to use his force against him.
Yep.
I'm gonna use some willpower. 5.
No one in the room has time to understand what is happening. The trainer is his face half turned away, looking at another group, and is about to return, and bam, he's down. Your arm has his pinned in a perfect arm lock, your knee against the small of his back. He looks absolutely confused. But the most surprising look comes from Mira. She's looking at you, first slight horror, but mostly fascination. She looks at you, frowns, a bit worried. She has nothing to worry about from you.
No. I bend down to Liam and then I say, did you get enough, big guy? You want to tap out?
Ooh.
I kind of press him a bit to show that I'm not joking around.
Ah! Oh, fuck.
But it's all in good fun, right?
Ooh, where did you learn that? Oh, holy shit. I had you. I saw you fit. Well, you didn't even signal with your feet.
Okay.
Ow! Let me go. Okay, good. I'm tapping out. Yes.
Okay, oof. I'm letting go.
Good.
Oh, this is, like, this was always the best part of the job as well. I'm thinking, like, taking down cocky guys that thinks they have one up on you, but then they suddenly don't. It makes me grin a bit. Feeling quite pleased with myself. You want another go?
Yeah, no. I know I'm good.
Okay.
In the break after, on the way to the women's shower, Mira stops you in the hallway. We need to talk about something.
We do?
Yes, we really need to talk about something.
Okay. What do you want to talk about?
I want to talk about this. She holds up the letter you wrote to the prince. The light on the door turns green. The lock buzzes open. And you enter. Inside is the same nondescript office building, linoleum floor and slightly beige walls. The three metal chairs. On one of them, she sits.
Welcome back. Please take a seat.
I snort a little in derision, seeing this woman. Yes, I recall her. And I'll go and slump into my seat.
I nod and look you up and down. How do you look today?
I always look very presentable. Today I'm wearing a grey knit cardigan and a pencil skirt. My hair is tied back in a knot. I'm very nondescript, elegant looking. You wouldn't notice me in the street.
I see the door closing behind us, and I sit down as well. Madeline, was it?
Yes, that is my name. Madeline Boucour, yes. I am sorry that we were not able to get you out of isolation until now. I can only imagine that it must have taken some toll on you.
No, on the contrary, it's absolutely lovely. I have a man who pleasures himself almost every night while complaining about it at the same time. It's fascinating, absolutely fucking fascinating.
Well, many women suffer the same fate, so... But no, all jokes aside, we shall try to help each other to get you out of this situation, shall we not?
I look at Francis. You can do this. We will have to do this.
I'm aware of what I have to do. Funny coincidence, actually. I've been attempting to formulate a brilliant plan to speak with you alone for, I don't know, 3 or 4 weeks. But I guess that we were going to play a game of chess and then you were going to have to punch me in the face or something. I don't know. It turns out, I turned to the doctor, that in prison everyone's fucking insane. So, you know, it's been a lot of fun. Really enjoying it.
Yes, well, I'm sorry about the brilliant plan. It's always a shame when those go to waste. But to get to the matter of the reason we're here, I am eager to hear if there has been any progress on your research around the prison. I know, of course, that you haven't been out much for the last couple of weeks, but you did have some time since our last meeting.
I've been able to work with ruling people out and trying to figure out the habits of some inmates, trying to see what stands out. But I think what we really are looking for here is some sort of hierarchy. And there's not been much progress when it comes to that yet.
What about that friend of yours? We haven't spoken about that. Vlad?
Yes, there's Vlad.
Are you aware of him? I say to Bukur.
Do tell me more.
What do you know of Order, I believe he called it, of St. Leopold?
That you most certainly do. They are reckless. They are blinded by faith. And they tend to burn things rather than ask questions. They are a dangerous partner dancing after dark with. They have the same aims, but they tend to mess shit up. You had no idea there was one in this prison.
I am I'm familiar with the group. Are you saying that you think this Vlad is a member?
I try to read your expression. Do you react at all outwards to this when I say it?
I look a bit nervous.
Put a finger in my mouth. Start biting my nail. Yes. I think he is. He is a fanatic. He can be an asset. But he would probably go for anything he finds, if he finds out something. He's very much a foot soldier, a grunt level. Something we could use, but not in form. If you know what I mean.
That sounds about right.
Yeah. And that is also a message I tried to send to you, Francis, but it's impossible. We have to figure something out here.
Well, he contacted me. You say he came from you, say he was helping, and I don't know. You don't get much intel. So there we go. All right, then. Crazy. Another crazy person in here who might help us or not. What else have you actually discovered, Paul?
Just one note on that is, obviously, there'll be no mentioning of Ellis to him. Not sure what she's up to. Haven't heard much from the outside for a bit. But, yes, that we know. I rack my brain. Other than that, I'm mostly starting to try and rule people out.
Interesting. All right, well, I was going to report in, and I can do that to you then, Dr. Madeline. It's the medical facility. That's where they're keeping their supply of nourishment.
That makes sense.
Clearly, someone in the department, the medical department, is involved. It also appears that they have several other lackeys around the area. They have attempted to murder Paul, twice, I believe, now. Is it twice?
Yes.
Yes, twice, yeah. And, yes, and whilst this was all going on...
Though I'm not sure if that's related.
Oh, it definitely is. My cellmate is your would-be nemesis. A completely useless being. Except, apparently, when it comes to being told to kill you. So, yes, definitely something is going on there, Paul.
Do you think this has anything to do with the blank body situation?
Well, how do I know? I sound a bit agitated as I say this. It could be anything. Think about it. Are you aware, Doctor, that they've been killing people? Two people have died. Possible sanguination. Seems very convenient. I reckon that maybe they're onto us and they're trying to find would-be spies. They don't know it's us yet, but maybe it's just a matter of time.
I put my hand on your leg. I try to calm you down.
Yeah, Madeline, You get instinctively worried about him. The way he talks, there is a large difference between this man and the one you helped to clarity the last time you met. Could you roll an insight plus intelligence?
5.
You realize this man is not well. He is actually, he's probably right now in some sort of fugue state or in some sort of fatigue induced near psychosis. What he says makes sense. He believes in it, and it's probably true, but he's an inch away from cracking. If this guy gets sent back to his cell and stays there for another week under the same levels of stress as he is now, you are seriously worried for him. All of this takes a microsecond. No one else in the room notices that you're alerted to his extremely vulnerable state.
I kind of flinch my leg away from Paul as he tries to calm me by touching it, and I say, "Oh, no, so I forgot, Paul. You're infected." Yes, sorry about that. Maybe you're a stage zero now, or maybe not. Maybe it's not enough. Hopefully not. I don't know, Paul. I had to use the blood, and you were dying. So you know, sorry.
I still sit there leaning forward. What do you mean? The blood?
Yes, you've had infected blood put into you. I have no idea what it's done to you. Are you feeling better? Maybe it makes you feel better. That's great.
I try to feel how I feel, and I am very aware that anything could be placebo of... I don't know if it's true.
You have been quite active. You have been feeling good. You've been connecting with another person, understanding them somehow, aware. It's felt like another soul has been there. Like you've been feeling deeply connected in an almost preternatural way. Now that you think about it, it's almost like you've been slightly high. Talking, sharing life stories, getting close to a random person. Is that you?
I felt like that was just me bonding with Rodney. Was it someone else?
So, yes. So in actual fact, Doctor, that probably means that they've got infected blood mixed in with the regular blood as well. Maybe that's how they... recruit minions? I don't know. What do you think? There you go, that's my report. And I just slump back, tired, very tired all of a sudden.
I look up at her warily. What does that mean? If I've had the blood?
I finish noting down what you say meticulously. I don't think it's a healthy course for you to pursue this thought until you see any actual indications. We don't know very much about how the blank body virus spreads. It would be...
Yes, exactly. I know that. I was the one researching it, remember? I'm not able to do that now. I just have to assume that something has happened to him. I don't... Ellis... With Ellis, it was... there was a post-mortem. There was post-mortem involved. But that... I'm thinking my whole entire stage theory may have been flawed from the start. Like, maybe there was more stages to the progression than I thought. And I just start scratching my chin quite erratically.
What should I be... aware of? What should I be on the lookout for?
I don't know. Have you had the desire to kill your cellmate and drink their blood?
No. On the opposite, I felt happy.
Huh.
Yes. Now, what you should look out for, this you know, Bakor, is increased capabilities in some area. It is the blood has an effect like doping within a specific field. This has been observed many times.
Yes, but if he's received the blood just this one time,
it is unlikely that it will have any permanent effects.
Yes, and I do think that it might be a bad influence on him if he starts to think that any increased social capabilities are due to... We don't want to push him out into trying to get more of the stuff.
No, probably not. Probably not. The truth is, you don't really know.
No, I'm wondering about this, but I also... It also seems like... I don't want to question Francis too much, because he does seem to be showing some paranoid signs, and it can be dangerous to confront paranoid people with their delusions directly. Besides, his inquiries might actually lead to some valid information for the investigation.
It's one hell of a balance.
I kind of stir in my seat a little, and then I add to Paul, and I failed to give you the phone that Vladimir was getting us. It's in the cell next to you. The guy in the cell's had the phone the whole time, probably loving life.
You know him?
Yes.
I think I've seen you with him.
Yes, yes, he's the idiot I was trying to use to get Eve to speak to you, and also to get... Doctor, I have been trying to access the lab. It's not even a lab, it's a medical junkyard. The medical facility to further continue my investigation. But then, well, I've not had the chance.
Well, you know, Francis, it might be possible for us to do something about that. Of course, it is very out of the ordinary, but... I need to consider this further. I might be able to pull some strings. I mean, you are clearly not doing very well.
I kind of visibly wrinkle my nose and then clench my fist, and then I just kind of look at Paul and I just slump, clearly quite frustrated at that comment.
I think to myself that I want to find out if there is a way that we can get Francis some occasional access to the medical wing for his some sort of treatment. Man is clearly falling apart, and
he needs medication. There would be nothing strange with you coming there to do a visit with him to get medication. That would not be out of the ordinary. Also, there are three separate nice rooms around there that you can maybe even get him housed in a separate unit for rest, if you can argue that he or his cellmate is a danger to each other somehow.
Yes, but I don't want to promise him anything yet, so I just say that I think there may very well be a solution. I think I will be able to get you access, at least temporarily, and supervised by at least me.
Well... supervising, I suppose that would work. The issue has been I've been supervised the whole time. That's the problem. It's right there, the blood, and I can't look at it. And I have a blood sample on my... I have a blood sample on my window ledge. Well, oh, it's just completely useless.
Yes. How old is it now?
10 days old.
Yes. But there is this thing. If there is vitae in that blood, vitae is forever.
I took it from one of the deceased. The first one.
Yes, we've had two casualties. I assume you've been informed of this. It should come out in the regular news.
Yes, I know about the casualties. That is actually the reason that I was able to call you in here today.
Lucky.
We should talk about those. But yes...
Rudy. Is he here yet?
Yeah.
Yes. it appears that he has recently arrived and is being kept in the vulnerable prisoner unit due to his many enemies.
VPU. That's what he said.
Mm.
I start biting my nails again.
But,
Rudy.
Obviously, he went here of his own volition. He wouldn't be caught unless he wanted to.
There are certainly many things that point to that.
What does he want? Anything else?
I can make an assumption. He's here to, I don't know, murder the other blank bodies. They all don't seem to get along, after all, for some reason.
In the same prison as we are in? You don't think that's a bit of a coincidence that he decides to come kill blank bodies in the prison that we stay in?
He probably knows all about it. I don't know. You remember, and as I say this, I get a bit of a headache because even now, remembering is difficult. You remember the tower, that there was all sorts of bullshit going on. I don't know.
So he and Ellis share a bond of sorts. I don't know why he doesn't go straight after her. Would make the most sense.
Well,
I don't even know where Ellis is. I haven't seen Ellis for 10, 12, 20... I don't know how many days it's been.
Well, here's the thing. We think he might actually be going for Ellis by coming in here. And that's also the thing about the murders, you see. And it's a little bit of a touchy subject. But we have... We got access to the surveillance feed, the partial surveillance feed. It's very shaky. The quality is not very good. They obviously don't pour that much money into it. We have video evidence that highly suggests that Ellis has been in here around at least the time of one of the murders.
Think she got hungry?
Well, what do you think?
Can't rule it out, I say. Shrug casually.
I have no idea, Doctor. At this point, she's just basically a free agent. Yes, why not? She probably is eating people now. It's not like we can stop her.
I'm just thinking that... the person that she attacked was one of my aggressors. It's, probably not... I mean, she would feed from whoever she sees fit at this point, but it is still worth noting that this particular person was someone who threatened me. I was not far from going under that particular time.
Yes, I don't doubt her loyalty. Anyway, Miss Bakur, so there you go. There's your report from your extremely brilliant operation you're running here.
Who was the second victim?
Yes, the second person was a young man named Jarl Fasil. He was in for armed robbery, but the case was a bit inconclusive.
I've made a few observations and I... know a few of the names now. Does this name tie to any of the people I have observed? Anything I noticed about them? Was he one of my aggressors, for example? Or does he tie to any of the groups?
Yeah, running in the outskirts of the Croydon gang. From the same outskirts and the same South London clique that jumped you, yeah. Not in any way centrally connected. No, it could have basically been anyone if it's him. That's a nobody.
Oh, so Madeline, you need to look up Bartholomew. Yes, that was the only sample I was able to even get a name on. C523 Bartholomew. Said.
Yes, all right.
Look that up.
Will do. Why do you mention...
That's one of the names on the bags. So either he was a donor or the receiver. I don't know.
Uh-huh. Interesting.
Was his name on multiple bags?
Unfortunately, Paul, at the time you were bleeding out on a table. I didn't really have much time.
It seems like it might be a code name. Few people are actually named Bartholomew these days.
Huh. Yeah, maybe. Code names, how exciting. But yes. Yes, Madeline, if you can get me in there with your supervision, then yes, I could actually properly look
yes,
at the blood.
Yes, of course, we will sort that out. There is just a matter of Ellis. You see, we worry that, you know, someone with her proclivities, perhaps she should not be running around loose. She's getting no help.
Are you going to stop her? The last I checked, she was a rogue agent who seems to be helping us, and you have no idea where she is.
What's the alternative?
Well, we do know where she is now. Roughly.
Where?
Well, she's in the nearby town. She's apparently training to be a prison guard.
Huh.
We can...
Makes sense.
We can expect her to show up in here very soon.
And you would do what?
Well, I...
Tie a leash on her?
No, I would just ask you to... urge her to cooperate. If someone like her were to cooperate with our cause, we would be able to study her. We would be able to study the blank bodies with so much more.
She's not going to let us study her ever again. I had my charts. It's not going to happen.
We got a fair deal of information from her, from her physiology. The rest, I think, we can get far with talking to her. She's gaining insight, gaining abilities. I don't doubt that she, will share it with us if we just talk.
You can't get lab results from talking.
No, but... She, like you said, she's not going to be a lab rat.
Well, yes, I know, but I'm just saying. I identify with what... Identify. It's a silly word to use. I kind of just start stuttering a little to myself.
Well, that's...
Well, regardless...
Hmm.
It is... It seems unlikely that Ellis would be the only person behind all of this. It is just strange with the vast blood reserves that they have here. That... they would be needing to kill.
No, it's not. Ellis may be involved, but not on that level. No, the entire operation clearly has been running for some time. Like I said, someone in the medical department must be involved. Mm. They would be authorizing the blood transfusions and
yes,
all that.
What about my daughter? She's still staying with her?
What?
Yes. Sarah.
What? Why is your daughter staying with her? How do you know that? What?
She called. Apparently she has come here. It's family business.
Ugh. They have some sort of relationship. She almost compromised an operation last time.
She came for me. She did not come for Ellis.
I think if it's...
At least that's what I believe.
Well, it's not like you can ring her back, but if you could, I would suggest you tell her to stay away from Ellis, but nothing I can do about that.
I trust Ellis. I do. And I trust Sarah. She's gone through some rough patches.
It's not a matter of trust, Paul. It's a matter of the situation we're in. Even by being near Ellis, she is in danger, even if Ellis does not wish her to be in danger. You're aware why we're in here, right? I'm an innocent man, after all. Not supposed to be in here. I start getting quite agitated again.
Yeah.
I don't respond to what you're saying. Rather, letting you breathe out what you need to.
The clock on the wall ticks ahead another minute. And the time is up.
So what exactly are we going to do next then? Because we need to...
Yes, yes. I look at the clock and we have a few options from here on. Because of the group therapy sessions, if you point out a suspect and give me a bit of warning, I can arrange for them to be present with you at these sessions so that we can question them. Or anyone you want to ally with, basically. Any other prisoner at the prison. And yes, we should be able to get you into the medical wing.
If you find anything on this Bartholomew, that might be someone worth sharing the space with. But we don't want to cause suspicion.
Exactly.
We are here under non-operative circumstances.
No, it is very important that you take it very easy. You will be going back into lockdown now. I know it. I have it on good authority that the lockdown will last for yet a while. So, these creatures, they usually expect mortals to be very rash and to make very sudden decisions. So, don't do that. Be thorough and be slow and be careful and do try to do whatever you need to stay sane. Perhaps, it sounds silly, but try meditating.
Tell me, Madeline, what even is the point? What's the point again? Now even Rudy is in the prison, so what, are we supposed to find the people he wants to deal with first? Is that the whole bloody point? Why don't we just let him do what he wants? I don't know. You know where he is, we could just study him!
Well, can we really trust him? Would you do that?
Well, I don't care what happens to... We don't need to trust him. You put him in a cell, you inject him with, I don't know, vast amount of sedatives, cut him up on a table, I don't care.
Well, the thing is, Paul and Francis, I would...
This man is breaking down in front of you. He's very, very agitated. It's maybe the best way to get him into the medical wing. We just need to call the staff right now and say that we have a patient who is violently psychotically ill. It could work. He's certainly getting a bit on your nerves at this point.
Yes, fine. Fine. Get it your way.
What do you mean, get it my way? I just want this all to... You're going to bring in Rudy? What? What do you mean, do it my way?
No, what I was saying was that...
Yes.
You don't... Neither one of you should be in here. Especially not you, Francis. Your brilliance is wasted on a place like this. There is so much to be discovered, and we are on the brink of discovering it, and you are important to this, and I cannot let you rot, and I cannot let you destroy yourself. So if you have to go into psych right now, for the off chance that I may be able to arrange for you to do a little bit of science, that is what we're going to do.
I kind of blink a little at the sudden, maybe not true compliments, but compliments nonetheless, to say, yes, I am. Brilliant. Psych. That could work, although they'd examine me, and it's not like there's anything wrong with me, so I'd have to pretend that there's something wrong with me. Which would be difficult, I'm not a good actor.
Yes, that's lovely. I smile and I push my little orange panic button.
And there it goes. You see Francis opening his mouth to talk again, but then the door smashes open. And handlebars and the two more of the screws come and have you in the lock. Everything all right, Mom?
Everything will be quite all right. I need you to take this prisoner straight to the psych. He is a danger to himself and we need him to be observed and taken very well care of.
We'll sedate him and have
sedating.
Him in the observation
room.
I'll
come willingly, you don't need to
come
sedate
here.
Me.
Come. Yep, get up now. Yes,
ow.
Yes.
You can excuse me.
Yes, Mum.
This prisoner is not to be sedated with anything except the mildest available doses. I have a reason to believe that he has a history with substance abuse.
Oh, yeah, like 98%. We'll go easy on him. Yeah, put him on
just
the...
Just tie him down.
We'll tie him down and put him on the on some benzos. That's fine.
Thank you so much.
Let's start... drag him out of there. And Paul, you're left there alone in the chair, looking at this woman. What did she just do?
Oh, don't make that face. He's going to be just fine. I'll go straight over there after this. I'll talk to the doctors myself.
I sit there and I feel cold inside. I feel my hands tighten around my trousers as they are in my lap. I stand up and I say, Bukur, is that French?
Originally.
And I go to leave.
Do let me know if Alice or Rudy or anyone else of interest contact you.
How will I let you know?
I will be in touch regularly.
Good.
Thank you.
The noise from the door is rhythmic. Someone is throwing a party somewhere in your building. You start walking up the stairs, see the door. That's where you left the note. The note that she had. You didn't have much time out there in the hallway. Very little time. As she gave you back your note, the one you wrote, she says, "You can ask me one question."
"Who are you?" I ask, and I'm she knows that I can fucking hurt her, so I will try to scare her. So I want to roll intimidation.
Go for it.
Intimidation and...
Yeah, how do you try to scare her? Is it your physical presence?
Yeah.
Strength?
Yeah.
Yes. You get one additional die because you just destroy the man in front of her.
Gonna sacrifice another willpower. 3.
Hey. She looks away and then she looks up. "I'm not supposed to tell you this, but I am proud to be the handmaiden of the prince."
"The handmaiden, you say?"
"Yes."
"What does that even mean?"
"You had one question."
"Well?"
"And now, I will give you his."
"Okay."
"Will you serve?"
"I want to meet him."
The teacher and the rest of the class bursts out of the door. Some of the girls come here into the shower. You're not alone anymore. Boom, 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 boom. The rhythmic bass of the sound of a party up there. And yeah, it's in your room.
I don't want to be this extra parent, but somehow I have to, and I kind of chuckle to myself. That is like, yeah, let the blank body raise the estranged Catholic weirdo. That's great. But I open the door, and it's like, my intention is to come in and be like, what the fuck? So I kind of opens the door rather violently.
You burst the door open. Sarah springs from the sofa, spilling books all over the place, running over to the stereo, turning it down. She's alone in the room.
Oh.
There's tons of legal textbooks on the floor. Yeah, there's a slight smell of marijuana in there, but that's it. She screams, frightened, and jumps behind the sofa. What the fuck?
What the fuck? What the fuck?
Okay.
I thought you were having a party.
No.
Turn it down.
Okay.
Now.
Yeah, she turns it down and looks at you and smiles.
I mean, I could hear it from the outer door. Do you want us to get us evicted?
No, I just...
God damn it! I'm sorry. I'm getting too agitated. I don't want to scare her, so... Fuck. Okay, I'm sorry.
Yeah, sure.
I'm sorry. I got worried. I'm gonna go. Do you need anything? I can shop something for you. I think I'm gonna.
No, I just need you not to randomly come in and scare the shit out of me. I'm not in danger. It's okay.
It's my apartment. I thought you had a party. You need to be.
Yeah, well, maybe next time I will.
Have a party in my apartment that you are staying in for free, I may add. Why would you do that to me? Huh? Have you no manners? Didn't your father raise you differently?
Hey! Don't you?
I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I had a shitty fucking day, and I'm gonna go out. Just keep the volume down, will you? Okay.
Sure.
Okay. I'm sorry.
The door slams behind you, and you.
Fuck.
You leave. Fuck. In there, you can hear her. Crying.
Damn it. I can't do this. I can't do this. She will have to go back to her family. Fuck.
Yeah, you walk around the block trying to walk it off. Chill air. Stars above. No sound but your own breathing.
Trying to figure out what to respond to that prince. Will I serve? What does that even mean? And being a handmaiden, and like, it's... Fuck, it's getting complicated. Oh, shit.
You hear another thumping sound. This time it must be from the bar. Only two blocks down. There's happy, raucous laughter. There's somebody screaming some profanity at a friend.
Yeah, I go there. Maybe I can feed off someone. Just get this antsiness away. Yeah.
Hungry, thirsty, looking for life away from responsibilities. Alice walks into the night.
You have listened to an episode of Red Moon Roleplaying, where we play the third season of the chronicle No Man is an Island for Vampire the Masquerade 5th edition. Our storyteller was Martin Eriksson, and we were also joined by Anna-Karin Linder and Freya Jullenström. The music was created by Lola Zaza, and the sound effects are from the fine folks at freesound.org, zapsplat.com, and Sirenscape. We would like to give massive thanks to our champions of the Red Moon, Martin Hoshobert, Nastasha Rollerson, Simon Cooper, David, Julia, Camilla, Ludwig Manford, Bob Delange, Julian, Cameron, Ryan F., and Xavier for their generous support. And we would of course also like to thank all of our other patrons. Without your support, the show would not be possible. If you want to support our work, please check it out on Patreon. You can get access to bonus campaigns for Cult Divinity Lost and Coriolis there, as well as get early and raw access to all of our recordings. You can also hear your name read on the show as a champion of the Red Moon, as well as play Cult with us. Most importantly, that support is what keeps the show going, so do check us out there. And remember, death is not the end.